This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And this half hour being brought to you by our good friends at NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, they'll take care of you. Go to NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey today. And we start out in our journey with Jerry Dulac, my good friend. It is always great to hear you on the other side. I hope the golf game's going well.
Well, Steve, good afternoon. Always good being with you, my friend. And sadly, once training camp starts, the golf game slows down a little bit. So that doesn't mean it stopped. It just means it slowed down.
And that's exactly what's happened to me. Training camp started. The golf game is still in gear, but slowed down. All right. So is this a Steeler team on initial read? You know, and I realize the team's playing cover two, it comes into play, but is this a team that's going to have to be an 8, 9, 10 play, 75-yard drive team and not a big play team?
Well, I think they're hoping to change that, Steve, because that was one of the problems last year. They weren't a quick-strike team, and it was one of the reasons, why, you know, and that was evidenced by the fact Kenny Pickett threw only 13 touchdowns. I mean, in two seasons, Russell Wilson threw 26 last year. So that's what they're hoping to change. They're hoping to be able to strike quicker through the air. And George Pickens, you know, he might be as big a big play receiver as there is in the NFL. I mean, yep. The catches this guy makes, you know, I was just saying yesterday, he makes the routine play look spectacular and the spectacular play look easy. And it's just day after day at training camp. I mean, he's just wowing the crowd with these catches. And you know, I think what he is able to bring to this offense with a quarterback who knows how to attack, obviously that was one of the things they want to change and hoping to change. And we're going to find out. We're going to find out if, in fact, that's the case. I like the hire of Arthur Smith. I thought he was perfect.
Me too.
For the way they're built and the way they want to play. And, again, we're going to see, but it obviously it has to be much better than what we saw last year. You know, and they just struggled to score points, and they were just so inefficient on offense.
And I'm with you on Arthur Smith. I thought that was a great hire. But I want to get to Russell Wilson for a moment. When he was in Seattle, especially earlier in his career, like most younger players, he could really move. You know, and his ability to make a play, you know, running with the football was big. I know he wears a flak jacket, but it looked like in Denver to me that he looked heavier and slower. Right? You now get to see him on an everyday basis. How does he just physically look to you?
Well, I'm with you on that. You know, the younger Russell Wilson, the way he could move around and, you know, elude tacklers and extend rushers and extend plays. I mean, he looked like Fran Tarkenton in his day.
Yeah.
And for that reason, 2-3 years ago, right when he was in Seattle, at the end of his career I've always said if I had to pick one quarterback to take me on a minute-and-a-half drive to win the game, I might pick Russell Wilson for all the different ways he could beat you, including throwing deep because he's so accurate as a deep passer. Yes, he is thicker. And look, he's going to be 36 in November, so yeah, he's slowed down. It's kind of like Ben. When you watch a young Ben Roethlisberger and then you watch a 37-year-old Ben Roethlisberger, they were two different players.
Right.
But they have that innate ability to make guys miss and to extend plays He's just not as fast as he used to be. The people in Denver told me that where he got into trouble last year is when he did that, is when he tried to extend plays and use his feet. And they said he's better off, you know, with a 2 to 3 second guy. Well, 2.5. Snap, look, get rid of him. You know, obviously he's very good with his progressions and all that. But I don't think, and I see no evidence of this, I don't think they want him back there creating plays, running around. Well, look, if he has to, okay. But I don't think that's not in their blueprint. And I think they want Russ to be, whether drop back or out of the shotgun. And I think they want to go more. I think they want to go more under center to take advantage of play action in their running game. But I don't think I think Russ is where he's going to be utilized best is in a quicker passing game and taking those shots down the field.
I also think there's a strong possibility that the offensive line he operates behind in Pittsburgh is going to be better than the one he had in Denver, especially with the moves they made with the draft and so forth. What's your opinion on that, Jerry?
I don't think there's any question, Steve. You look at the attention that they paid to the offensive line the past 2 years, signing Isaac Ciamalo and Nate Herbig in free agency, drafting Broderick Jones, number one. And then this year, drafting Troy Fautanu, number one, Zach Frazier, number two, and Mason McCormick, on with their fifth pick in the fourth round. To add six guys like that, all those young guys who they're thrilled with, there is no question. When Andy Weidel came in as the assistant GM, and he came from the Eagles, he was their vice president of player personnel. It was told to me by one of their people at the time that what Andy will do is attack the lines of scrimmage. And he did it with the offensive line. His next chore for the next 2 years is to spend the same amount of attention, devote the same amount of attention on the defensive line because it needs it. So, yeah, I don't think there's any doubt when you look at their offensive line. And not only the starters, but the depth, because the depth right now is the young people right now. A lot of teams have a hard time finding a number one offensive line, let alone depth. And the Steelers have stocked themselves very well, positioned themselves very well on the line. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a big plus for them, no question.
How do you view the secondary on this team in this camp right now?
Well, I think when they weakened their wide receiver position when they traded Deontay Johnson, but they knew they weren't going to keep him. But by weakening that position, by taking away a productive number two receiver, they strengthened their cornerback position. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you Dante Jackson is a Pro Bowler, but Dante Jackson is an improvement over what they had, and he's brought a lot of speed to the secondary. Now you pair him with Joey Porter Jr. in his second year, and now maybe you have something. So they went out and they got Deshaun Elliott in free agency as well. They added speed there and a thumper, and they improved that strong safety position. Of course, Minkah Fitzpatrick. And so they've made attempts to improve it. It wasn't a horrible weakness last year, but it certainly wasn't a strength. And I'm not going to call it a strength, but I think it's improved over, as most positions have, with the exception of the defensive line. I think they have taken great steps to improve positions that needed improved, and several of those being on defense, including the inside linebacker spot after the injuries they had.
Back to Arthur Smith for a moment. You and I are in complete agreement how much we like this hire. The really good ones are the ones that can adapt what they're doing to their personnel. They don't try to do the square peg round hole thing. When you watch Arthur Smith working with this team, what are you seeing that you think brings out the best in players because he's adapting what he does to their ability?
Well, you know what I see, Steve? I see a guy who can do here exactly what he did in Tennessee when he was the offensive coordinator there. And I'm sorry if there's any background noise because I'm at the stadium. They're getting ready to do a scrimmage with the Bills. In Tennessee, you look, he was 2 years he's the offensive coordinator.
Derrick Henry had best two rules. 1,500 yards, 2,000 yards.
Not only did Derrick Henry flourish, Ryan Tannehill had his best 2 years as a professional. they kind of re-energized his career, which was floundering, no pun intended, with the Dolphins. So he has the chance to do the exact same thing here. Najee Harris is as close to Derrick Henry as there is in the NFL. I'm not calling him Derrick Henry, but you're talking about a big, powerful back who moves the pile and run guys over. And that's what Derrick Henry does. And you have a quarterback such as Russell Wilson, who I'm not saying needs to be re-energized. Steve, he threw 26 touchdowns last year with 8 interceptions. Do you know how many quarterbacks in the league would take that? Do you know how many teams would take their quarterback to be able to do that in this league? A lot of them. Most of them. And so having those pieces in place, and then you throw in a guy like Jaylen Warren, who the Steelers like every bit as much as Najee Harris, I think he has two big pieces to work with. And, of course, he has a big play receiver. So that's why I think it's a good fit for him here. And the pieces that he utilized with success in Tennessee are almost identical here. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's going to be a big plus for the Steelers and for him.
Yeah, I mean, and all the way through that, there's been a lot of talk about Brandon Ayuk and so forth, and who knows how that's going to play out. What do the Steelers need to do, at least with this roster, to somehow put a balance on the opposite side of Pickens that would make Pickens even more...
Steve, I missed the last part. To somehow put what?
A balance to Pickens on the other side. Who do they have in this roster that can balance Pickens out at least... You know he'll get doubled, but the other guy may be able to make some plays. Who might that be?
Well, right, and that's why they were hoping to bring in a proven number two guy. And, you know, and Brandon Ayuk certainly fits that bill. But right now it's going to be Van Jefferson, who they like coming out of college and you know, had a good year with the Rams when they went to the Super Bowl.
No doubt.
Now, is he a proven number two? No, but right now, that's going to be that guy. They brought in Kez Watkins in free agency, who had his best week at camp this past week, and they drafted Roman Wilson, who you're familiar with at Michigan. Mm-hmm. Now, he hurt his ankle, nothing serious. He'll probably be back for the last preseason game, but he hasn't had a chance to play yet, and they really like him. I'll tell you what I was surprised at, Steve, and I don't know how much you noticed this, you know, when you saw the Michigan games. He's a Hines Ward-type player. He loves contact. He's not afraid to block, makes combat catches. I couldn't get over how slight a frame he was when I first saw him. To me, when I saw him the first day of camp, I didn't even know he was one of the players. I thought it might have been one of the helpers or something. But they like this kid. So we're going to see. But what they're going to rely on, too, and you know this very well, is Pat. And so, you know, Arthur Smith's background is as a tight end coach. He loves tight ends. He loves multiple tight ends. And they drafted Darnell Washington last year, the big kid, 6'7", 280, out of Georgia. And they want to get him more involved in the pass game this year. So I think you're going to see that lack of a true number two without Ayuk try to be balanced with other weapons. And that's, I think, the approach they have taken.
See, what happened with Wilson, you're right about the frame. And in the Roman Wilson games that I did, last year he did nothing against Penn State. And they were very physical with him as to how they played. And then McCarthy got banged up as the game went, and so he stopped throwing the ball. The year 2 years ago, 2 years ago when they were in Beaver Stadium, or 3 years ago, he caught two touchdown passes against Joey Porter Jr., on a day where Joey Porter Jr. was not physical with him. And you know, you and I both know Joey can be a bit handsy, and he decided not to be that day, and Wilson caught two touchdown passes. So when he gets a free release, he's good, but again, he's not going to be able to use his physical traits. I'm talking about, like, power to get by people. That's not who he is.
Right. And that's why I think he's going to have to put on probably 10 pounds and get a little thicker. You know, not thick, just thicker. But we've seen other guys with smaller frames. I just thought his frame was a little slight.
Yeah.
They love the way he plays. They love the way he catches and turns upfield. They just haven't had a chance to see him in a game yet. But, you know, hey, a little different competition in the NFL than it is in college.
In a lot of ways, as T.J. Watt goes, so goes the Steelers. How's he been to this point?
Well, that's true. But I think what's happened by bringing in Patrick Queen, now you've made a significant effort in taking a significant step to improve your defense. That's the position. I don't know why it sounds like the Daytona Speedway here, because I'm by the stadium, but apparently some people like to try it out. What he does is he stabilizes, knock on wood, a position that has been a rotating door since Ryan Shazier's career-ending injury in 2016. I mean, Steve, they've just kept bringing in player year after year after year. And, you know, this time they signed one of the biggest players in free agency, and they gave one of the biggest free agent contract they've ever given when they signed Patrick Queen. And that is as big a step as the team made. It's right up there with bringing in Russell Wilson. And so that makes them better across that linebacker crew. And, you know, Landon Roberts was a surprise last year, but he was the last man standing after Cole Holcomb and Quan Alexander got hurt, and he was like the heartbeat of that defense. He's a thumper. But the guy they like as well, who they can play in sub-packages, is rookie Peyton Wilson. You know, the Benarek Butkus Award winner, highly decorated, 6'3", 242, and runs a 4.43. This kid has a chance to be maybe not only the steal of the Steelers draft, maybe the steal of the NFL draft. And, for right now, he's going to play sub-package football. But they've made two big steps there, especially with Patrick Queen, to improve that position.
I think the Queen signing, we could talk about free agent signings, I thought was, there can't be another signing more important than that. So at minimum, let's be conservative, say he's the top five. But he plays the game differently than the other linebackers they've had over the recent years.
Yeah, there's no question about it. And the other thing it does, it weakens your top opponent's position as well.
Yes.
You know, by taking him from Baltimore. But yeah, Patrick Queen is a proven big time player. And with all the people they've tried, it's been okay, bring him in. They're nice players, they're good players. Cole Holcomb, let's keep our fingers crossed. They're not Patrick Queen. And that's why I agree. I mean, that's, to me, it may be the biggest signing of the offseason, but I'll at least give it the fact that you brought in a 9-time Pro Bowl, Super Bowl winning quarterback who actually should have won 2 Super Bowls in Russell Wilson. That, I mean, when you're talking about marquee resume signings, let's face it, that's up there with any one of them.
Jerry, always a pleasure. I'll let you get to work inside that stadium and look forward to seeing you soon, my friend.
Well, Steve, anytime, and you know I always enjoy chatting with you.
Same here. Thanks so much. The great,
hey, my friend.
You bet. The great Jerry Dulac joining us on the show today. And the best in the business. And you talked about the golf game part of it. Look, I think the two of us have to just figure out about dropping something some weekend in the off season. And just say, look, let's just go play. Let's go play and get it done. I think that's what we have to do at this point. But he's right. You get to camp. And I was able to steal a round on Sunday. I was able to steal, when I mean a round, I played 9 holes. I was able to steal a round on Sunday, 9 holes. Got 9 holes in on Monday. Got 9 holes in on Tuesday. Couldn't do anything yesterday. Can't do anything tonight. Won't be able to do anything tomorrow. Maybe on the weekend. We'll see about maybe getting another 9 holes in somewhere. But right now, when you get to this time of the season, it's just a little hit or miss when it comes to hitting the little ball around the course in terms of finding the time to do it. I will find some time because the exercise is good and I'm enjoying the game more than ever. But Jerry is right. He had training camp and it's hard for him to get in around in training camp, just like Penn State's in training camp, can't get it around. Believe it or not, Mondays, I won't be able to do it Labor Day because I've got a baseball game. But Mondays will be the day during the regular season I'll be able to get in there because that's the off day. It's so, like, as soon as this show's over, gone. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, your ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities. Business, athletes, they'll do whatever they can to help you. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is 43 new Hyundais away from their all-time sales record through August. With 134 new Hyundais to choose from, plus deep discounts and low interest rates, SMC is going to break this record. Sunbury Motors has 48 2024 Tucson's available, starting at $32,568, or get 1.99% financing for 60 months. Looking for the most versatile compact truck on the planet? Take up to $3,000 off the 2024 Santa Cruz. The Santa Cruz starts at $31,247. And there's 16 in stock. Here you go, car buyers. SMC has 11 2024 Elantras with 1.99% financing for 60 months. And Elantras start at just $22,960. If you want to have a fun day, you have to buy a Hyundai. We're breaking the record in August with 43 new Hyundai sold. Hurry in to Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Multiple insurance needs. And Purdy Insurance handles them all. They do everything they can to save you money. You know, in some cases, you're allowed to go over state lines for insurance. They'll do that. And, of course, there are bundles. They do a great job of handling it all at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. And the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament was another huge success in giving back to the community and the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Show's off to a great start with Jerry Dulac. Todd's back.
I am here.
We'll mark you as present. Hope you had a good day yesterday.
Oh, we had a great day.
Yeah?
Yeah, Madeline loved the aquarium. That's always a plus. The first time we went, she was only three, so she wasn't quite... She was probably a little touch too young to go to it, so...
So, what... I've been to the New England Aquarium in Boston. And it's a big circle where the deeper you go, the different types of sea life that you end up seeing. Is that the same thing in Baltimore?
Well, kind of. You kind of start out, and there's a big pool where they have a variety of sharks and stuff like that to check out.
And then, sharks! Oh, perfect! Oh, you must have felt like you were at the staff.
and then it goes by levels of the sea, and they've also added, they built like a rainforest thing at the top of the museum, So they have some animals other than fish and stuff there. There's some birds up there. There's a sloth, nice. If you can find it. It's like...
Did you find the sloth?
I did, but it was hiding. I live my life like a sloth, so the sloth is my favorite animal.
That just was cruel. That's just, I mean, really, self-deprecation, cruel.
Hey, if all I had to do was hang out in the tree all day, I'd be pretty happy.
You work all the time. What are you talking about?
Hey, I'm on vacation this week. I'm going to enjoy it. My work is going to be 2 hours a day with you, and that's about it.
Is it your next week or this week?
Starting yesterday, actually. I'm just off Wednesday to Wednesday.
How about that? Feeling good. You earned it.
Well, it's one of those things where take it now because the next available time is probably December.
What were Jerry and I talking about?
Yep, golf.
I mean, golf, right? And the inability to play every day.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't mind going. It's a beautiful day here today, but I've got 13 of the next 15 days. I have baseball. I have a couple Mondays off, and it turns out those Mondays coincide with football not practicing too. So on the next two Mondays. Don't bother looking for me after the show.
Well, we won't have to look for you. We'll know where you're at.
You don't know which course.
Well, that's true, too. How about we know where to start our investigative work? How's that?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could do that, sure. Yeah. Now, this is August 15th. And this is the day that ACC schools would have to inform the conference that they will not be a part of the conference next year. If you do not inform the conference office, then it is automatic that you are in for the 25-26 season. Now, we brought this up last year. We brought it up the year before. And each time, the same thing has happened. Nothing. Which meant Florida State was committed to another year. Clemson was committed to another year. And today is going to come and go without anything happening as well. It just... the way it is. I think the key for them is they want to play out the entire lawsuit, and they're not going to worry about informing them about leaving. But this is the magic day.
I mean, we would have known before today that they were leaving today as well. They wouldn't have been able to keep that under wraps.
Right. Of course it would not be under wraps. They would make a big deal out of it. And there are a lot of people who claim that they have inside information, which you and I both know is really a small pool. I mean, that's why he's like, I have inside info. From where? What? I mean, you'd be amazed at the inside info I get on Penn State football practice. I'll be looking at him like, you know, I'm standing there, right? You know, I'm actually standing there. I used to love that. I heard. You heard what?
Well, one of my favorite follows on X is Message Board Geniuses, where some guy just finds the strangest stuff on message boards. Fans are weird, man. That used to be my favorite thing. They don't have it anymore, but I'm sure you heard of this. There used to be the Penn Live High School football message boards.
I knew of them, but
you want some... You think college football fans are crazy. You should see some high school football conspiracies.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I had a great time in Harrisburg last night. The fans were tremendous there. And, you know, somebody had asked me about Andy Koltunicki and Tom Allen. And I said, look, there's a couple things. And I drew a comparison to John Beilein, the former Michigan basketball coach. And, you know, John and I always have always gotten along well, whether he's at Canisius or wherever. When John first took over at Michigan, he had a certain style he wanted to play, you know, just like he had at West Virginia, Richmond, Canisius, but he had a style he wanted to play. Well, his team at Michigan that he inherited did not have players on that team that could play that style of game. But he insisted on playing that style because he wanted to recruit to that style, and he wanted to show recruits how he wanted to play, which in the end turned out to be the right decision. But the point I was making about that is that what John did in the first year was take square pegs and try to fit it into round holes. Now back to Andy Koltunicki and Tom Allen. What I really like about them is that the two of them have looked at their personnel as to what they're really good at, what they're capable of, and a couple of areas that they aren't sure about yet. And they're accentuating what they're capable of and what they're really good at. They're trying to take round pegs and put them into round holes. So they're not trying to force a style on people that might not be able to handle it well. They have adapted what they want to do to the people and the personnel they have. And that's what they've done to this point. Now we're going to find out in practical application how it goes. But I think that will be something everybody will look for. Look, not every call Tom's going to make during the course of a game is going to be perfect. I mean, I would talk to Brent Pry on Sundays, and I'll say, hey, how do you think you did? He says, Steve. You know, and this is like typical. He says, Steve, there's a couple I wish I had back. Or Manny would say to me, Steve, there's a couple I wish I had back. You know, everybody feels that way. I mean, you know, this is still humans trying to do this. As much, quote, expertise as they bring to the table, there's going to be something that says, oh, man, why did I call that? Right? That's going to happen. So I did say to them, I said, right now, I said, everything's going well. I said, now, the first bad call that you perceive that they make, you're going to kill them. They all started laughing. It's like, because they knew it was a fact. they knew I was, you know, it's just the way it is.
Does Andy get 1 3-and-out in the opener before they start?
I don't know. I think the first 3-and-out could be trouble. People are like expecting, you know, magic ones and
68
like
points
that.
A game.
Yeah. I mean, now, do I think they're capable of putting up some points? Oh, yeah, I think they are. Based on what I'm seeing, yeah, they are. But I want to start seeing it in practical application. Maybe we all do. That's, you know, it's one thing. College football, we talk about the length of the season. But, boy, there is a lot of time between the last game of one season and the first game of the next. You get to kind of a point like, come on, let's go. And preseason, with no two-a-days, preseason is longer now. So
that is one thing I've learned since I've doing this show. The off-season's longer than you think when you have to talk about it.
Yeah, it is. Okay, now there's this. So, again, Clemson and Florida State, they're not going to hand in any paperwork today. Next, the next big deadline is going to be, I want to say late January, early February, and ESPN and the ACC coming together on an opt-in for ESPN to take the contract beyond 2027 to 2036. Okay. Now there's this. We all know about the college football playoff. Now there's some talk about a group of five playoff. Now, look, one school is going to get an automatic bid. And the group of five is thinking about doing their own playoff. They're going to have a meeting next week in Dallas of the commissioners from the Mountain West, Conference USA, Sun Belt, American, and the MAC, called a G5 Summit. Conference leaders plan to discuss some of the more pressing issues, such as NCAA governance, private equity interest, and, of course, the House settlement. And believe me, these G5 schools are tremendously impacted by the House settlement. So we'll talk more about that as we continue. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
All right, so what do they want to do here with this? They say they're open to a lot of possibilities in the group of five. They're trying to generate more television dollars, obviously. They want to provide a secondary championship for any team that is not competing in the college football playoff. They are not interested in relinquishing a spot in the playoff. They want their automatic bid. John Steinbrecher, the commissioner of the MAC, says they're just trying to create more ways for interest and revenue. And they say everything's on the table. Tim Pernetti is now the new American commissioner. Mike Oresco retired. He's up in Idaho now enjoying life. So they want to put all this on the table next week. They say the college football playoff spot, though, is the utmost importance because automatic access gives them millions in revenue distribution. Simple as that. The group of five will split about $115 million per year. So that comes out to about $1.5 to $2 million per school. That's not quite the amount they originally expected. They expected more. But it's still going to be a cut of it. They have an 8-year deal with ESPN to televise the expanded college football playoff. But whether it goes from 12 to 14 is irrelevant for the G5 in some ways, because 12 to 14 would be more power four, two more power four teams and not a group of five team. I mean, group of five plays great football. They really do. They play really, really good football. Every once in a while, you get a Boise State to beat an Oklahoma in a Fiesta Bowl. I mean, Liberty had a terrific year last year. Then they got blown up by Oregon 45-6. But the year before, Tulane was able to beat USC 46-45 in the Cotton Bowl. So, realignment has weakened the group of five. There's no question about that. I mean, when you see UCF, Cincinnati, Houston, going to the Big 12, you've been weakened. I'm talking about the Group of Five being weakened. And the other part, too, is if you have really good players in the Group of Five, how long do you get to keep them? As Jamie Chadwell told Yahoo Sports, he's the head coach at Liberty. He says, look, we're a farm system. He's not wrong. He's not wrong.
It is kind of funny they never did get Grayson McCall to transfer until they were able to pay him.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, it's interesting. Last night, Clarissa Crowell, who took Penn State to the NCAA softball tournament this year, was asking about, you know, when you talk to recruits, what would you talk to them about? And the first thing that came up was education. I looked over at Joe Crisp and I said, money. Joe agreed.